We are back, baby, with another episode of the Golden Bearcast, presented by Blue Wire Hustle. What's up, Rob? How's it going?
Yeah.
You enjoyed that intro?
That's energy. That is 100% energy right there. I don't know what you had for dinner, but clearly it is bringing the heat this evening on a cold Thursday evening in the Bay Area.
I don't know where you live. It's beautiful outside.
It's still cold, though. Like, relatively cold.
It's maybe for you. I live out here in the hot area. I was outside by a fire pit hanging out.
Did you feel the earthquake today? That's my question.
No, never do. You feel all of them, which makes me think you sit in a bad location.
Oh, to be fair, I did not feel this one.
Oh, okay.
I was sitting on my couch watching the Cal game, and then I was on my phone, and then I found out that there was an earthquake.
At like 11 a.m.?
Yeah, it was like 11:30 or something like that they said there was an earthquake. But anyways.
If you haven't guessed by now, we're recording this on a Thursday. In which Cal basketball lost by a 29. Whopping 29 points.
Yep.
Tell me how Colorado's team is this year.
Oh, they're a tourney team. Like, they're actually the top three Pac-12 team. Like, guaranteed conference. They're probably vying for a conference championship this year.
I watched them play USC earlier this season, and yeah, they looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, they're a really good team. But it doesn't deny the fact that we looked terrible across the board.
What is the word I'm looking for? Two words. Rhymes with smash ruckets.
I mean, my recap is up, which I wrote like 2 hours after the game was over. And it's, I don't want to say it's scathing. I don't think it's that scathing, but it does ask a lot of questions about where we are. And I actually went back and watched Mark Fox's introductory press conference at Cal, and I quoted him from that, where he's like, we're going to be a defensive team, like, that's our identity, we're not going to be an easy out. He said something along those lines.
Yeah.
But we're defensively the worst team in the conference. Defensive efficiency wise by advanced analytics by KenPom has us as a worse defense than Viking Jones ever had in his 2 year tenure here. That speaks a lot.
In some regards, it's a first. I'm just going to read the title of your article. Bears add another to the loss column via Colorado. Is there any defensive identity being built? Statistically, it's not evident. Yeah, I'd say... You could have just left it with the question, but I love that you answered it.
Yeah. Like,
nope. So, yeah. Not great, folks. And
no,
it was a fun conversation because, you know, you had that tweet about, I think I was tweeting about, like, why is there, or someone tweeted, Drew tweeted me about an 11 a.m. game, and I was like, yeah, I have no idea. And then you came in with the knowledge. But then Saman came on and asked, you know, totally an innocent question because he has no
Are
idea.
Are you guys, like, even good? That's basically what Saman asked.
It was, should you even care about basketball? To which the resounding, you know, response was yes. And Nick came in and
with the, like, fire
from 2009 to 2017, we were top three in the conference or better. And so, if I mean, remember that, folks. Remember it, because that's the side of me that's like, ooh, oh boy. That, I mean, I swear, I promise you, if this was not COVID times and they were seeing the impact in the stands like we talked about on the previous pods, this would be a dumpster fire. But it's not right now because they're not seeing that impact. So, yeah. And you're talking about, like, what? This is like year three for a lot of these young guys. Because, like, Viking Singh was like, yeah, this is the youngest team in college basketball. This is also the youngest team in college basketball. Like, and then now those young guys are older. So Mark Fox was kind of, yeah, like, we weren't going to give you as much of a run, like a longer runway, because you had these younger players that were going to develop into, you know, their college prime. And he had proven that he had been able to do that at Georgia, taking a little bit more of a senior team and making it to the NCAA tournament.
Once.
once. But what we're seeing now, that ain't happening.
Nope.
It looks really bad, I would say. All right, so here's
what... If Andy's saying it's bad, man, it's gotten, like, bad. Like, yeah. You know, Andy uses me as a very good gauge of, like, what he should be thinking. But if he's also come to terms of, like, this is bad, then it's gotten pretty bad.
Yeah, it's gotten bad. If you even have me paying attention right now, that's... Something's woken me up, and it's like, ding, 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 something's not right. Like, oh, okay, that's not good. It must have passed, like, 98% of fans already.
Andy.
Let's
go ahead.
We need to do some research and see, like, what tech companies have sold and if there's someone high up in those tech companies that went to Cal, and try to see if we can tap in for, you know, like a $25 million investment in hiring a super legit coach. Who's, if you had no budget concerns, who would you hire? Okay, maybe not no budget. So, like, I don't want you to say, like, Coach K. Like, that's obvious. Or Calipari. Yeah. You know, like, I'm saying if
reasonable
you were, like,
get.
Reasonable get.
Let's say we had, like, a competitive, we were able to, like, give them a competitive salary and all that yeah. stuff. That's a tough question. I mean, my dream hire a couple years ago was Tom Crean, right? Who is now destroying it at Georgia, which is hilarious. Because that's where Mark Fox was before he came to Cal, and he took that year off. So, it would have been Tom Crean. I think Shaka Smart at Texas. I would have liked him because there were some inklings last summer. Or 2 summers ago when, you know, Fox was being hired, that Shaka was about to be fired that same summer.
Yeah.
Or that same, like, around that same time. And I was like, if he gets fired, I think that's a damn good hire if you can somehow pull that off. But, yeah, I mean, realistically right now, I don't think we're not going to get that established coach because we don't have the money or the facility that we can compete with other Power 5 programs even just across the P5. So you're going to have to go with an up-and-comer, and I say why not hand the keys over to Dennis Gates? Like, he's a Cal guy, played here, a damn good recruiter at Florida State. And then let's say this plan failed last time, but let's say you bring on, you know, Theo as the lead assistant right behind him, because the thing with Gates is that he was FSU's head coach, I think it's Coach Leonard. He was Coach Leonard's, like, lead assistant for quite some time, so he knows how to like deal assignments or like what it's like to be a lead assistant. So I feel like that chemistry there would be there, and he would teach him the ropes. And then if Dennis moved on to bigger and better things, then we have Theo right there to take the reins.
I don't think Theo's coming back.
I don't think so either. I don't think he's ever coming back. Not after that debacle that went down. The only way I think Theo comes back is if you offer him the head coaching job, like, just off the bat. Just, you give him the head coaching job, and you say, 4 years, we won't touch a thing. Like, yeah. you get all the time in the world. Right?
But that'd be crazy, I feel like.
If Theo came back?
He's not high enough in the Warriors.
Oh, no, he's definitely not. No. I don't think this time it's coming around. But I think there could get to that point in his career if he keeps developing where they're... And that's probably the only point in time where I see Theo coming back. I don't see him coming back as an assistant. He has a great job right now.
I just looked up Eric Musselman's record.
Oh, God.
What do you think it is? At Arkansas?
Arkansas?
Yeah.
Right now? How many total games?
13?
I'd say, what, like 8-5?
10-3.
Okay. I mean...
Probably should have gone with that higher. I know people said he's a dick.
Yeah.
And that's his reputation.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, he hired Yanni, and Yanni's just, you know, terrible.
We don't need to go in there. But
just not a good person.
Just from an on-court perspective, though, he would have brought relevance back to the university, and then he could have gone on to greener pastures.
Yeah. I mean, they're only paying him $2 million. So,
yeah.
Nothing that we weren't paying to Kwanzaa. Like, that was right within the ballpark. I think, I mean, from what I heard, it was very he said, she said kind of hearsay when I remember that. But from what I heard, you know, it sounded like he was just looked at Berkeley, was like, you guys are too dysfunctional in that department. And that was pre, was it?
That was pre-Knowlton. Yeah, because that was the Viking hire, right? So that's Mike Williams. So that's like Mike Williams' like final year here. Yeah. So it was he had already said that he was leaving, right, at that point, like Mike Williams. So like, and then in those final months, it's kind of like a president, you know, sitting at the end of his it's weird how the timing worked out, but like just at the end of his term, and it's just like you have like a month left, and you're not going to get anything passed. So what do? You just like sign off on amnesties and you know, for and just doing like that type of stuff.
Make a ton of problems for someone else to solve.
Maybe, yeah. But it felt kind of like that, where it was just like you didn't really do your due diligence. It felt like a higher world. It's like, I don't really need to do anything to the best of my ability. Or like, but then the time was so long that he couldn't just leave it hanging. I remember us talking to Mike Williams actually the week that Konzo left for Missouri outside of Cal Football, the stadium, for practice. And we were talking to him off the record, and I think at this point it's all moot, so it doesn't really matter. But he basically said that they asked Konzo, like, is there anything we could do to keep you to stay? Like, is it a pay raise, you know, something like that? And he said no, he just wanted to go home. So there's nothing we could do. It was like our hands are tied. And he left. But with that, like, we got a hefty buyout, right? I don't know what we did with that buyout. Like, we got a buyout from Missouri. Like, what are we doing with it? Like, did we push that money back into the search firm that hired Mark Fox? like that, I don't know what we did with that money. Instead of like pushing it into getting a higher tier coach, we like went with one of his assistants that was like unproven and was never even a lead assistant ever. So, oh God, I don't know why we're even talking about this. It just makes me sad.
Just going to start off with some nice, depressing basketball talk. Yes.
Just makes me all sad already.
Excellent start.
Excellent start. But let's move on. Some little bit of happier news. We'll do all these quick stuff, and then there's the meat of the conversation that I want to get into with you in the main part. So first few things, a lot of players deciding to stay or move over the last week or so. Marcel Dancy announced that he is returning for his final year.
And? Like
Hicks and Coyne Dang and Cam Good and Josh Drayden. Woohoo! That is a group of kids that I did not expect to come back. At least not all of them. Surprises for you out of that list?
Most, yeah.
Most.
Yeah, I think maybe Dancy coming back, not surprising. Hicks coming back, surprising. Coyne, either way. Uh-huh. Cam Good, surprising. Josh Drayden, either way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I'm here to talk about what Marcel Dancy tweeted.
Which is?
That he guaranteed that the Axe was coming back to Berkeley in 2021. Guaranteed it.
Burr, 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 burr.
In like January.
Yeah. They haven't even touched the football in like 2 months. And this dude's just straight up saying, yeah, it's coming back.
I honestly think that's the coolest thing that a running back has said since Marshawn's been here. that's it right there. Takes the cake. Yeah. That's just perfect.
Oakland first, baby. Oakland first. It's just how it is. He has that like when he talks a little bit, that Marshawn swagger, just a tad bit. He's not as outspoken as Marshawn ever was, yeah. But he does have those moments where he like says something like that. That's just like, oh yeah, he's like confident in himself.
Yeah, there was like that Najee Harris clip too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Some sad news on the other end. Is that we have some
sad news.
Yeah, some potential leavings.
Nope. This is not sad news. This is the lamest shit ever. All right, continue.
Andy's going in. All right, we got two. First one is Jeremiah Hawkins is transferring to Texas State. we already knew he was transferring, but we know his destination. He is now going back to be coached by Spav and Jacob Peeler. Peeler was his original recruiter here at Cal and will now be his offensive coordinator at Texas State.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Graduated.
I think that's a great way to end his career. Next one is Putasi. Putasi has graduated and is into the transfer portal. Didn't play much. I think he played a total of 4 games for us in his 3 years here. So wish him nothing but the best for his future endeavors and wherever he decides to play his final season of football.
Tempered it down. You gave him, we built the hype, and then you're like, no.
Nah.
We're going to give you the slow burn. Yeah. All right, Rob, tell him the news.
The last one, Makai Polk, had first announced his intention, or he didn't announce his intention to transfer. It just showed up that he was in the transfer portal. And then he committed to Mississippi State, where former Washington State head coach Mike Leach is.
Garbage. Unbelievable.
I'll let you go. You say what you need to say.
First of all, Makai had become one of my favorite players on the team, especially because of that UCLA game in 2019. He was just super explosive. He's from El Cerrito. So he's like East local Bay, local kid, goes to Cal, great height, great hands, good speed, athletic, like everything you'd want a receiver. And then I buy his jersey. And this is how he repays me for that? Of all the places you were going to go, it's like, all right, I was already broken up about Makai leaving. And then you choose Mississippi State, the program that should have everyone kicked off of it for instigating the biggest fight in the history of college football. While their head coach was taking selfies in the stands with fans during a global pandemic.
With his mask off.
With his mask off, thank you. That's the program you went to? That was a punch in the face, and then just, let's say it was some, just Makai just punched me on a boat, and then was like, ha, you thought I was done, just threw me overboard, and was like, see you later. That's how I feel about that.
Andy was very, very upset about this. I honestly, this move, right? The only way I can understand it is that he wanted more touches. And in an air raid offense as a wide receiver, you're going to get those touches, right? You're going to get the opportunity, at the least, the opportunity to get those touches and be pretty prolific if you're one of the main, targets in that offense. But, and here's my but. Air raid wide receivers tend not to do so well in the pros. It is just, I don't want to say it's fact because there's definitely like extenuating circumstances and outliers, but for the majority, like I hate bringing this up, but we can talk about ourselves. How many wide receivers of the Sonny Dykes era under Goff and Webb that we were like, holy shit, these guys are amazing. They're going to ball out in the pros. Even played in the NFL, right?
Bryce Treggs did not end up ever really playing, right?
Yeah.
And then we
Kenny Lawler never ended up playing. He was on the practice squad for years.
We had Trevor Davis, who's
Trevor Davis,
special teams.
Right. He was more known for special teams. Darius Powell with the Giants for a little bit, but he was a tight end. And then Steven Anderson now is getting a lot more burn. Like Steven Anderson is probably the only one that has a decent amount of burn in the NFL.
And a late season surge from Chad Hansen.
Right.
Who is my missing? Played for the Redskins.
Oh, Maurice Harris.
Yeah, Mo Harris.
Yeah, he played for a little bit, but he hasn't played in a while too.
So like I think fringe. I think a lot of people it was interesting. From a subject standpoint, had a long day, so thinking about random things. Yeah. I think a lot of people sacrifice long-term gains for short-term satisfaction.
Yeah,
and
that's a lot in the world right now too.
and the grandiose move of that is sacrificing a University of California Berkeley degree to get one from Mississippi State. And if you're looking at the relevant examples that Rob's giving and you're saying 1 to 2 years in the league at best, okay, great. So you make what, league minimum those 2 years? How much is that? If you're in the league and not on practice squad, 500K? That's
like, yeah, 500-600K.
All right.
I mean, think about it this way. How many of even, oh, since he's going to Mike Leach, how many Washington State wide receivers do you know is balling it up in the NFL?
I can't name any off the top of my
exactly,
head.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point.
I can name Gardner Minshew, but...
he's about to be replaced.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
So...
like River Craycraft. That's like the only guy I can think of who's still in the league right now.
That's good. That's a good name drop. Yeah, I think it's a dumb move. But who am I to say? I don't have the ability to play college football. I didn't ever have that choice. So I must recognize that, you know, I'm just literally the dude at home that's having an opinion. So
he's betting on himself, which I think that's at from that standpoint, that's admirable. If you're betting
always
on yourself,
always,
I think that's the most admirable thing you can do. As a fan of Cal and
is he betting on himself? Like,
I think he is.
You would have bet on yourself because we talked about this. Maybe he was leaving Cal because schematically he didn't like it, but also because there was a lot of talent coming in. Maybe he didn't see himself as part of the ones.
He had the third most touches on the team.
Right. I know.
I mean, that's why I'm like, that's the only way I could explain this is that he wanted more touches. He wanted to be that number one or number two guy. But like, you were number three on a pro style offense. Like, I think that tape is worth more than being a part of an air raid where you're running three routes just from different positions. You know?
So let's zoom out. We'll let Makai live his life. But do you think that there's a trend here with wide receivers leaving this program that we should be concerned with?
So yeah, I mean, Avi brought that up in our Right for California Slack, right? And that's, you know, we talked about it for quite some time. I think the basic gist about it is, for me, no. I mean, none of Justin Wilcox's wide receivers that he himself recruited have left, like, because, you know, they were mad at the program. Like, we don't really know why Makai's leaving, right? This is all our own speculation of why he wants to leave. But Makai Polk is like the first real one to leave. The other ones we don't really have, right? Like Melquise left, but he was a Sonny Dykes guy. D Rob left, he was a Sonny Dykes guy. Jeremiah Hawkins is leaving, but I mean, he's grad transferring, and you know, if he wants to play his final year elsewhere, like, who are we to say? And plus, he was going to get a little buried on the depth chart anyways, and he wanted to, you know, play one more year.
I don't think like graduating and transferring counts. I think it's like the Konovai Noah, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, even Konovai, that was a grad transfer, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't remember. I didn't think so, but maybe it was.
Yeah. Because some of these guys graduate in 3 years, right? They don't necessarily stay, like, or do all four. So I think it's – I don't think so. I don't think that there's an issue here. There might be an issue in that transition between Nick Edwards to Burrell Toler. But I feel like Toler has built a good repertoire with all of these guys enough. So there's always going to be an outlier. I think Makai's case was that outlier.
Was Makai a Burrell Toler or a...
He is Nick Edwards.
Nick Edwards.
Nick Edwards.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, all right, Makai. I don't know what I'm going to do with my jersey. I guess I'll just have to wear my DeSean Jackson.
No, white just wait until a new number 17 pops up. We'll definitely have a new number 17.
Come on, Jamichael, come on.
J-Mike, where's the number 17?
Yeah. It'd be so great.
It could be. But one last player movement is Raymond Woody III, who's a safety from Florida State, is transferring into Cal. He'll be eligible to play for us this year, I believe, if the NCAA passes that one-year transfer rule thing that they postponed the vote on. But I'm pretty sure that thing's going to be passed before the season starts, so he'll be eligible.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we were in his final list. The only reason I think he went to FSU was because dad was coaching there under Willie Taggart. So I think it was just he wanted to leave, and we were still in touch with him, and that's that. And now he's coming here.
Yeah, his offer list was insanity. Yeah. So that's
the type of guy you want.
Yep.
Some recruiting news. Four-star defensive tackle Demonic Williams commits as the first commit of Cal's 2022 recruiting class.
Speaking of insane offer lists, this dude has an incredible offer list.
6'1", 300-pound defensive tackle from Mission Hills, California. Offers from SC, Washington, Arizona State, Utah, Michigan. He's I believe, Andy, have you seen like this kid's, some of his like videos?
Yeah, watch his tape.
Yeah. He's 15.
In the tape?
Yeah.
Oh.
Think about it. He's now becoming a senior, right? Which means this tape is actually from last year. So he's 16 now. And so the tape is from the season prior. So he's 15 in the tape.
He's just like that. He's someone we need badly because he's just someone that can fill gaps and occupy one, maybe two O linemen. And that's like the Niners, absolutely, what we used to do back in the day.
And now we have that rotation of these guys. Right. Remember how we were always talking about we were missing that Chris Palmer type, like that 290-pound bowling ball that like just has a like gravity well in the middle of the line. Now we have that with like him, Jaden Roberts, Stanley McKenzie, like those guys. Now we have the depth there now. That's cool. That's super cool to see.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, back-to-back years where our first commit is a 4-star recruit.
Super solid.
Only getting better. Only Andy going
California
on
too.
Yeah,
Andy Keeping home.
Yep, that's the big thing. Moving on to some Cal coaching hires. Of course, we talked about Tory Becton leaving for Texas, or did we not talk about that?
Hey, Cal fans! I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. That's right. If you listen to us every week and you're like, these guys are lame and I want to do it myself, this is the perfect opportunity for you. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters like Rob, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Actually, some fan asked us about it, so we'll talk about it later. But Tory Becton, our strength and conditioning coach, is headed to Texas to join Sark's team there. So Cal was on the hunt, and Cal hired Arkansas State's strength and conditioning coach. And he is not actually Arkansas State's strength and conditioning coach because he was only there for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, because he was hired there with Butch Jones, who is their new head coach, on their staff. And then Cal brought him back out to the West Coast. He was a part of Arizona's team under Sumlin for the last 3 years. And that's probably where the connection is because Marcel Yates was the defensive backs coach when he was on the strength and conditioning staff there at Arizona. He's had assistant coaching positions at the NFL level with the Niners, Power Five schools like LSU, and he's from California. He like did his undergrad, I think, in Irvine. So he has that West Coast connection there. And now it looks like he's going to be our new strength and conditioning coach.
I think it's a great hire.
I think it's a solid hire.
I think what you heard after you said Arkansas State was probably silence.
Yeah.
I don't think you heard anyone out there clapping.
Yeah.
But then when you actually look at his background's awesome.
Yeah. NFL and Power Five level of winning teams. Like that's huge.
Huge.
He was on that staff when Leonard Fournette was at LSU. That alone should just be like, okay. Okay, that is a man. All right. That is all the news, Andy. Is there any other news that I'm missing?
Yep.
What am I missing?
You're going to break the news, right?
We're not going to break the news, but we had someone message us. Our dear friend Sean McNally messaged us, and he said, he basically messaged, this was last night on Wednesday, and he was like, hey, you might want to take a look at this. And what it was, all right, Andy, do me a favor, open up Google Chrome for me, would you? Or any type of browser. Google's probably best because I've been doing this on Google.
Yeah.
So open up Google for me real quick and type in, and this is going to be a fun one, type in Cal Adidas Gear.
Adidas Gear.
Hit enter. All right. The first three things you're going to see are ads, right?
Yeah.
But the link right below it, shop.calbears.com/calbears/Adidas sideline gear. But if you click it, it leads straight to Under Armour, like, polos and stuff. But if you look at your browser and the link itself, it says Adidas sideline gear.
All right, now let me do some investigation. Let me look up what I'm going to put in Adidas sideline gear. Oh, and guess what pops up?
What?
UNC Wilmington.
I mean, that they're Adidas sponsored.
Washington Huskies, Nebraska Cornhuskers.
They're sponsored.
All right. This is good sleuthing right here.
This is very good sleuthing from our dear friend Sean.
Ooh, A&M. All the sideline gear.
And here's my thing, all right? Here's why I think this actually might have merit, and it might not. This is totally speculation here, right?
First of all, of course it has merit. What? Why, how do you think that didn't just magically happen?
I don't know. But, okay, here's my thing.
Also, why, when I put in Cal Adidas gear, are Fanatics, ShopCalBears.com, and ShopPac12.com, and Adidas all bidding on my search term?
Well, because you wrote Adidas.
I know, but like, isn't shop.com, shop.calbears.com a Fanatics store?
It's run by Fanatics, yep.
Fanatics is separately bidding, so they're bidding against themselves. In fact, I'm going to click on it just so that they have to pay for their silliness. All right, continue. I interrupted you.
No, here's my thing. So, you and I are both video game guys, but I am definitely a lot more invested into the video game leaks and, like, stuff coming out side of things. And the thing with video games when they release is that a lot of these – how leaks happen is that a lot of times retailers are making placeholder websites for – like games or products that they need to put up for either pre-order or for sale after the announcement goes up, right? Because they want to be the first ones to do so. That being said, that's how a lot of these leaks happen. And they're not live links. They're not posted anywhere. You just have to do some like Google cache and internet sleuthing to get those specific links. And you can pull them up on those websites via like Best Buy or Walmart or Target, right? So that's my thought process. That being said, when you actually search this and you find this specific link, someone had to have created that, right? It's not just a title that's like a fake pulling you over. Like, you and I have both worked on SB Nation and all that. Like, when we write an article and we put it up, these hyperlinks, like, we create. Like, it takes the first few words of our title, or we can go in there and manually switch out, you know, keywords that we want to be searched, correct?
For instance, as a test, I just ran Cal Nike gear, and it links to eBay and 247 Sports and this site called teamstores.com.
Yeah, which that doesn't seem like a real site.
Puma gear, nothing.
Yeah. Reebok? You got any Reebok?
Let me try Under Armour.
Under Armour. Under
Armour goes to the Fanatic store, of course. Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah.
All right, let's try Reebok. CrossFit gear.
Yeah.
No. So the only one that has any search relevance.
And that's actually in the link, right? It's like, if you look at the link itself, it's shop.calbears.com, which is the official Cal Bears website, /cal/bears/adidas/sideline-gear. And it leads to all of the polos and the sideline gear for Under Armour, but Cal stuff.
Love it. Very exciting. It's happening.
It's happening. All right. So talk to me about this. One, do you think this is real, or this is this is all fake? This is all computerized crap that, that Google's taking us for a ride.
99% chance it's real. That's a leak right there. Honestly, think you should probably leak it, and then the university will confirm it.
True. I mean, we're already talking about it on this pod, so people are going to start talking about it because we're the first people that'll be talking about this.
All right, we got to tweet it.
we'll tweet it out when we drop this pod.
Source on the tweet. I'm thinking source. Adidas is the next.
It can't be source. We already said that Sean was the one that tweeted it to us.
That's our source. But all this source means is we have a source.
This, I mean, that's not even a real source though, because he was internet sleuthing and he found it. This isn't anyone in the athletic department that told us to look for this. This was straight up just a Google search.
Nobody needs to know that. That can still be a source.
Source. We just talked about it the entire time. All they need to do is rewind this like 10 minutes and they can find out about it. All right. So I asked a buddy of mine who worked in this industry, like, you know, shoes and so on and so forth. And I was like, how realistic is this? Could this be like an actual real thing? And here's what he said. He said, this is actually very, very interesting. He said, that's really interesting. I don't think Fanatics would know that, you know, we would be signing Under Armour. So it could be just bad code where they just cut and paste from other schools.
Okay, let me test that theory. Go ahead. I'm going to test.
You're going to test it. All right. But on the other hand, he's saying that it could be real, but they also don't usually have stuff spun up for consumers right away. So this will probably take, if he's saying that timeline wise, if they're working on a deal right now and they're getting all that branding stuff done, you won't see products probably come up until third quarter. Like he said, it takes about three quarters. So you probably won't get it till like a month into football season.
Right.
And that'll be for like, you know, this like the sweaters and all that, but you'll also get like the basic, you might get the basic t-shirts and the polos that just have the Cal script just screen printed onto it on a generic Adidas polo just out there. But that's probably about it. And that's what he's saying.
So what I searched was Nebraska Adidas gear. I searched, okay. So then I searched Washington Adidas sideline gear, and none of them had that Adidas-sideline-gear, except for Washington State, which does. And when you click on it, it goes directly to their Fanatics site with all their Nike gear.
Right. Washington State is Nike. So does that debunk our theory?
Damn it. Wow, Fanatics is just garbage. Okay. Confidence score 0. Maybe we shouldn't send the tweet.
I mean, the people still listen to this and talk about it, but
That's what they used to have. So that's their old... I think it's probably still real because that's probably what they used to use. It looks like they never got rid of that. But I imagine you would start putting it up there so that when... The only reason why you would have that up there so far in advance is so that when it's announced, people are going to type in... What are you going to type into Google? Cal Adidas gear. And then they'd have the landing page ready to go. It's already picking up some
SEO
yeah. benefits right now because we're clicking on it. We're searching for it. We're clicking on it. You know, it's already... You know, if we type Cal Adidas... So I think that's why you do that in advance. But now, yeah, see, I clicked on it. Now it's the number one thing for me. Now it's it's right there. Adidas sideline gear. I would still bet that that's, I'm still in favor of us breaking it with the tweet, with the source.
And the source. It's Sean on his own, like, computer looking it up on Google. This isn't a leak.
tweet that shit. I like it. I would love it if we got Adidas. And we talked about it enough, but it would be a big win.
It'd be a huge win. I mean, and it needs to happen now. If we're going to get our stuff, as I said, from my buddy who works in this industry, if we're going to get our stuff from their factories and whatnot, it takes 3 quarters. It needs to come in before football season. Like, it's January. Yeah. Mid-January. Like, this contract and everything needs to start so that they can start, like, creative branding and, making stuff and creating new things for it. That's just what needs to happen. But, yeah, this would be very interesting, and I think it's just fun to think about. But some internet sleuthing and some fun things. So, yeah, if you're listening to this, go ahead. I'm sure you've already done it, but go ahead into Google, search Cal Adidas gear, see what you get, and let us know if you think it's for real, if it's fake, if it's just some computer-generated link that we're overhyping. But yeah, I think it's a fun little thing to talk about. It's not really little, but you get the point. All right, Andy, we're moving on?
Yeah, let's move on. I'm already tweeting this out right now. Breaking, Cal to sign with at Adidas, big win for the Bears.
You're not really tweeting that, are you?
I just tweeted it.
You're really tweeting that?
What do you think? Of course, we gotta break the news.
Oh my god. I'm genuinely worried for you.
Why?
Because that's literally false news.
Fine.
That's literally fake news.
Fine.
I'm genuinely worried for you to get in trouble with the athletics department.
Okay. All right. Let me rephrase it.
But it's already on Twitter. That's the point.
Okay. I have an idea. All right.
Okay. But we continue.
Let's get some fan questions.
Let's get some fan questions. As Andy figures out what he actually wants to type and tweet without getting in trouble, potentially getting in trouble. You do realize that your weight, your like tweets and words actually has gravitas like in the fan base because you're a podcaster, like, you know, and a fanboy. So if you say breaking, they actually think you're breaking the news. Like, you don't realize this, but you have to understand that your words have weight behind them.
We feel good about it. We feel good.
Oh my god. All right. Anyways, we'll talk about some fan questions. First one. Got one from John Clemens on Twitter. He asks, how limited was this version of Musgrave's offense? Are we going to see substantial changes to play calling as more is installed, or will it be largely the same next season? What do you think? Got any thoughts?
You take first take.
I think you know, my version of this season is they already kind of, I think as soon as the UCLA game was over, and this is tinfoil hat on, as soon as the UCLA game was over, I think they kind of realized, hey, this season's not going to go as we think it's going to go. Like, we might have to play random opponents on random days. So let's keep our playbook to a base minimum and not open it up unless we absolutely like want to or need to, and probably do that towards the end of the season. And that's kind of on the trend of what Trey Beck said, right? Which was like, you saw different pass patterns, you saw different play callings, you saw different like tendencies of plays even being called as the season progressed, and particularly towards the end of the season. So I definitely think that the playbook was definitely a lot more closed, and they were trying to save a lot of the stuff for an actual, you know, 12 game season where they could open it up a bit more. And there's no reason to open it up in a 6-game season with a new offense and show off all of that in game tape for them to prep for you next year, right? Like, I don't think you need to do that. So that's kind of how I feel about it. But
yeah, I think I would say that it's hard to say like what we saw with the offense this year and what to expect for next year. It's really tough. I mean, I think if you look at the things that are kind of a bummer going into next season, that's going to be one of them. And it's going to be the reason why I look at this team and say that there's, you know, I think there's a firm ceiling on this team of 8 wins. That's personal
ceiling
there. Yeah, I think like for me, I just have too many questions about what the offense looks like. So play calling, scheme, personnel fit, you know, like what we saw with Chase under center versus Chase being in shotgun. Just, you know, the fact that we're not really running as many RPOs and seeing just and watching a lot of postseason football, like college football this year, you just see how frequently that scheme is used and those plays are used and how effective they are, that it just had me sort of being like, oh, okay, you know, I think the offense is unfortunately still going to be a question. You know, it's just going to be one of those things. Does it have the ability to be better than I'm saying 100%? But it's going to depend on the O-line, you know, being able to replace Kurhan and step into that role, and then make sure that we get a really consistent running game, which obviously we have a lot of talent, and then seeing much more of a downfield attack than we have. But I don't know. Like, I still have genuine questions. I think there's people out there that are wondering how secure we are at quarterback, and I personally have no idea what to say on that. I've historically been incredibly harsh on Chase, so I have to kind of acknowledge that there's a bias that exists with me there, but I just don't No, like we saw his best in Baldwin's last season with us, and a season cut short by injury, and then this year it sort of seemed like we regressed again. So I think there's questions there, and I think play calling is a piece of the puzzle.
We'll find out more. I think we'll see a lot more too coming out when they have spring ball in the spring. Not sure if they'll allow people to come watch, but I'm sure we'll get little tidbits out of there, and then also leading into fall camp. Next is from Scott Morita. He asks, I'd like to get your thoughts on the impact of the departure of Torrey Becton and Marshall Cherington on player development and recruiting. These guys were both great at what they did for Cal football. Also, any thoughts on who steps in as replacements?
What do you think?
I mean, we kind of talked about Torrey Becton's thing, right? Is that he's gone. We kind of already know his replacement. I think we already talked about how we really like him, and that he's going to do a really good job, particularly because he has the NFL pedigree. I think that's like what a lot of recruits, potentially higher recruits, are going to be looking for. Because, you know, I talked about it with you when we were talking separately, is I think the strength and conditioning coach in a football program, like not on game day, but like in a football program, might be the second most important person in the program besides the head coach, because he is the guy that he connects with the players the most during the off season. He's the guy that interacts with them, sets their training schedules, their workouts, like what they need to particularly work out on, all that stuff. So he's a big foundational block to how you build your program up. And, you know, a lot of the times, like when you see a program that has like a lot of players with muscle injuries, you know, like hamstring tears or deep quads or calf injuries and bicep injuries and stuff, that's usually you can point that back to too rigorous of a strength and conditioning program and weight training. With freak injuries, that's tough to call, but like deep muscle injuries, that's usually where you can point the finger to. So like if you get a guy who can alleviate that and yet build players up and help fill out their bodies and mature, that's the kind of coach you want. And Becton did that. I think our new strength and conditioning coach probably do the same because he has that connection with so many of these top tier athletic programs.
Yeah, well said. I mean, that really answers the question where I was about to be like, I really wonder how much of an impact a strength and conditioning coach has on the program. But that was really well said. I think that covered it super well. I think we have a good hire there. I think when it comes to coaching hires, it's maybe this year isn't, I mean, and knock on wood, right? Because it's still going, it's still kind of ongoing and you never really know. But I think we should be excited about the coaches that didn't get hired away that we sort of maybe thought would. Obviously, the Oregon defensive coordinator position is still not filled, I don't believe.
I don't think it's filled yet.
So I think that's, you know, still a concern there if Tim DeReuter is, you know, as it's been reported, has interviewed for that.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, for Mario Cristobal, he doesn't really need to hire that immediately. It's not a position. It's he can take his time with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that, to me, will be something to watch out for is just like that position. But I think the other one that we were worried about was potentially seeing Regal leave, and Arizona filled in that that role with two coaches splitting it. So I think Regal's here to stay, which is fantastic. We've talked about it before. I know everyone didn't like the special teams performance this year. I think it's a total anomaly and that he's a really good recruiter. So I'm very excited that he's still here. I think Tim DeReuter tweeting out, was it Dancy's that he, or no, it was Drayden,
yeah,
that he tweeted out, let's go. So,
or Coins, one of those defensive guys.
Yeah, and he was pretty excited. So I think this offseason is actually one where we might be a little bit more excited about who's still here versus who left, although Torrey Becton is certainly a loss. Mm-hmm. And it was a good hire by Sark. Sark's made good hires. Sark looks like a good hire. That was very apparent in the national title game.
Well, except for the Eyes of Texas remark, but you know, we don't need to talk about that.
Or the fact that his main thing was getting them back to singing songs. You know who said that? Sark was not the first one to say that. You know who said that line?
Is that Matthew McConaughey?
No, I don't know, maybe. Sonny Dykes. Sonny Dykes was the one that was like all about singing the songs. He's like, "We're going to know the school songs." I mean, we liked it. I ate it. And that's why I say, it's like people hate on him. Like, no, like, it's cool. Like, that's fine. I'm sure Texas fans are like, yeah, that's dope. But he used to clown on Sonny. Yeah. Wasn't this the Sark when Sonny was there? He was like, who would want to go to Cal?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you, Sark.
Yeah.
Don't try to camouflage from us. We remember that. That was noted in the historicals of life and will never be forgotten.
Well, the second part of that question, as we move on, is about Director of Recruiting Marshall Charrington, who is going back to SC. I believe he did his undergrad at SC, so he's going home. I think that's, you know, if that might have been his dream job, who knows? But you know, he's going home, and who can blame him for that? And we move on to see who we can get. But it's definitely clear that he's left a very, very big influence of how we recruit guys, are how we interact with recruits, how we talk to them, what we send to them, how we do our graphics, like, you know, even the videos that we put out with like Nick Mitchell and that video team crew and the graphics. Like, you saw with the recruiting class this year, all of the, you know, logos that they created for each player and the hand-drawn images, and then even the videos of, like, you know, you hear I think it's Todd McKim that you hear doing, like, you're going to see, you know, like talking about the specific players, and all the videos you saw all year long. It just kind of builds that hype and just taps into, like, what do kids like these days? Like, what can you do to get them more into, like, watching our stuff and being like, oh, that was awesome. Like, I want to watch more of that, or, you know, and get into their, just seep into their minds of the Cal branding even more without just the football side. And I know Justin Wilcox's focuses on the football side, but you need guys there that can, on the recruiting side, that does the opposite, right? So you get that vast spectrum and you can hit them from different angles. I think Marshall did that for us and changed the game for us a little bit and modernized, you know, Cal recruiting to that degree. So hopefully we keep that going. In terms of replacements, like, I don't know, like, how to track that. Like, who are good, you know, recruiting directors? Like, I have no idea. That being said, I do know, and I think I'm allowed to say this, is that people have been interviewing, and they have been interviewing people. Of course, that's expected too, right? Of course, you'd think that they'd be interviewing people. But I have heard that, you know, and know of some people that have interviewed. So we'll see where that announcement goes or when it comes. But yeah,
that was what you weren't sure you knew it. Of course, you could say that.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. Sometimes I'm just not sure when people text me stuff. I'm like, am I allowed to say that? Like, what a part of that am I allowed to talk about, and what part of that am I not allowed to talk about?
People. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast today, but people might be eating dinner.
You're right. Now that I think about it, yeah, okay. I'm just a bit cautious when it comes to this type of stuff. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Versus me, who's breaking the news.
God. Anyways,
yang.
We move. That's why we're co-hosts on this podcast. We move. We have two more questions. One from Gerardo. I think we're around the same age. So who is your favorite player on offense and defense from the last three eras? Tedford, Dykes, Wilcox. His were Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Lawler, Patrick Laird, Zach Follett, Jordan Kanasich, Ashton Davis.
I know Jeff MacArthur is in my top three.
Okay, so that clears your Tedford era wide receiver offensive player.
Oh, I only get one from each?
One from each. One offensive, one defensive from each era.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that's a tough one. Toss up between Jeff MacArthur, JJ Arrington, and Marshall.
There's so many.
JJ Arrington was my password to my first Mac. Not my password to any more, but it was. So, okay. Fine. Jeff MacArthur, because he really started it all.
Okay.
And then
defense?
I probably would go, well,
or you want to go
the same era?
You want to go, let's just do the same era one at a time. So you say your Tedford guys first, and I'll say my Tedford guys.
Okay, my defensive choice is the, if you had asked me pre-Tedford, I would have said Delton O'Neal.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
But for my Tedford choice, it's Cam Jordan.
Okay.
And I had class. Oh, yeah, sorry. Like,
no, go ahead. You had this. Class? You had class with Cam
Jordan? I had class with Cam, and it was, it's so interesting because we would, and at the time it was like the guy who ran like the athletic, it's like the athletic, not the department, but the student center.
Yeah.
And I think his name is Derek, and I believe he's still at the university, and he had put together this course, and it was a bunch of athletes. It was like Javid was in the class, Cam Jordan was in the class, a bunch of soccer players, probably, you know, all the legends that you can think of are like all in this class. And me. And we're watching tape of NFL players just demolishing each other. And Derek, if hopefully that's his name, asked Cam Jordan, he's like, what do you think and feel when you see these type of hits? Is this, because it was back in the day of when they were like celebrating these massive collisions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and even reminded me, I think, in the national title game when like Kirk Herbstreit was talking about how these were the hits that they used to celebrate, that you used to see on SportsCenter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I actually got to hear like Cam Jordan's perspective on that. And it was always very interesting. And just to see him as a freshman and then work with the team with him as a junior and just see how hard he practiced and how, also how hard, I mean, he was someone that in the game, he would just go to this next level and just completely take things to this next level. And anyways, he's awesome. Those are my two choices.
I think Mine would probably be, I mean, because my Ted Ferreira starts in 2007, like as a freshman at Cal. It doesn't go anywhere be like prior to that. So I'd say offensive player, probably going to go with DeSean Jackson. Our freshman year at Cal, like it was just electric seeing DeSean. And then defensively, I have to go in that same era. I have to go with Saquon. Watching Saquon play was probably one of the reasons, as I got older, had more respect for the safety and cornerback positions and what they do, and like just how important those guys are on your team. And Saquon was freaking amazing.
he is amazing. And I always felt like I held Saquon into like really high esteem. And then I got to see him on the team, and then his senior year was really weird. Like, so him and like Marcus Ezef, I don't know what happened, but they had an overlap, or was it, maybe it was his junior year. Like, I think it was senior year. It was him and Marcus Ezef
was still on the team in 2007 because he was the guy that hit the Oregon wide receiver, right, for that ball.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ezef was still on the team.
So when I was with the team was 2009, and they would always show up to practice after practice would happen. So I don't know if they got in like academic issues. But Saquon was like the chillest dude in the world. So like if you ever, like if you're like, hey, Saquon, how's it going? He's like, chilling, man. Like just like just really, yeah. Really, you know, one of those guys. And because he was so good, he played all 4 years. Yeah, I mean, he was just awesome. But I was always surprised that he didn't actually make it further in the NFL. Like, yeah. Like, big, big surprise to me.
He had a few years, but that was about it.
You know who's someone that we really should choose that we never choose is Tyson Alualu.
Yeah.
You know, he was really good. Did we even draft him? We should have drafted him on our team.
I don't think he counted. I think Why? He was drafted right before, because we went 2010s, right? I think he was picked in like 2009.
Oh yeah, okay. Good point. All right. Now we got to go
next era, Ted Dykes era.
Sonny Dykes era. Oh boy. Favorite players from How about you go first? I don't have mine yet.
Favorite player? I was a big fan of Darius Powell. I still am to this day. I think he was very underutilized and rated as a big-bodied wide receiver. I think if he had been born, let's say, 4 years later, I think he would be like garnering very, very high NFL, you know, scouting eyes, because that's the trend, right? These big-bodied wide receivers that you can throw out against, you know, a 5'11" corner, and you have a 6'4" like 220-pound wideout that's out there that can, you know, has a huge catch radius. So, yeah, I think he was very underused and underappreciated, but I really liked Darius Powell. You know, and then he also did that celebration throwing up the X every time he scored. So that was super cool. Defensively under Dykes, you know what? The one fan favorite that always comes to mind is Cam Saffold. I don't know what it is, but under Dykes, Cam Saffold, it just that name always just comes to mind first. And he always had a few sacks, like, before he had to medically retire. Like, he had a few sacks that, like, every time he, like, sacked someone, it was just like, oh, here comes Cam Saffold. Like, he's like, this is the game. And he never quite got there, and, you know, it was due to injuries and stuff. But, I mean, he was pretty electric as a pass rusher. And I think if he had stayed healthy or was even in this Wilcox system, he'd be damn amazing.
That's a good pick. I have a hard time not choosing Jared Goff. I've been trying. I'm like, damn, I really loved Kenny Lawler.
Yeah.
And
I mean, Goff's the easy way out too, right?
I like, love it's Trevor just, Davis, yeah. But it's like, how could I not get Jared Goff for Sonny Dykes? He was the Sonny Dykes era Cal. Like, of the good side of it, it was Jared Goff. You know, maybe sprinkle in some Davis Webb fun, but you know, Jared just had this like cool, calm, collected attitude. He still has it. And Davis was, you know, a little bit more of the dude from Texas, kind of a little bit more showy. But yeah, I took Jared on offense. Defensively, I am going to say, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to. Well, because I can't say Kanasich.
You can't. But
Rambo was my favorite. Oh, man. Who else was there defensively?
I think, well, I'll give out some names. I think my other two picks, my other one pick might have been Devontae Downs.
Yeah, I was going to say Downs, and then...
Because he started off his career, you know, with that called back interception touchdown run against, I think it was against Washington his freshman year. And I was like, oh my God, look at that athleticism at linebacker.
Yeah, I would also say, like, shout out to, like, Demarie,
Devontae Wilson.
Oh, I love Devontae Wilson.
Yeah, Devontae Wilson.
But wait, he was more Wilcox, though, right?
No. Devontae Wilson never got to play under Wilcox.
Oh, I'm thinking of Funchess.
You're thinking of Funchess. Yeah. Funchess is your dude. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that's a tough era for defensive players.
Marlon Sean? Didn't you really like Marlon Sean? I thought you liked Marlon Sean.
Yeah, Marlon Sean. Because Marlon Sean talked hella shit.
Yeah.
He used to dodge. Oh, man. There's a lot of guys that we just brought up, and they are not in the NFL.
Yeah.
Nope. That was not a good era. All right, and then so we go Wilcox now?
Wilcox era. Offense and defense. I think I can go with mine. You want me to go with mine first?
Yeah.
All right. Defensively, easy pick, Evan Weaver. Easy pick. I
knew you were going with that.
Easy pick. I mean, you and I have talked to him so much. He's just such a fun guy to talk to. He's a personality. He's exactly what this football team needed from a like outward projecting standpoint at that time, right? You needed that type of guy, and it was perfect. So he like filled in that job perfectly and was outstanding on the field. I still talk to some of the Washington writers, and they're like, thank God. Like they said they still have nightmares and have to check if number 89 is on the field because they're scared of Evan Weaver.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Offense under Justin Wilcox over the last few years. Oh, man, that's hard.
That's so annoying. That's so depressing.
It's so
just as hard to think of offensive players for the Wilcox era as it is defensive players for the Dykes era.
Oh, shoot.
All right, well, I'm going defensive JK, Jordan Kanasich. Couldn't choose him when I wanted to before, so he does cross over.
And, oh, God, JK is going to be pissed that I didn't pick him.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, dude.
You're supposed to be his number one fan.
I am. And he remembered my name, which was like the craziest moment for me, like where I was like, you know my name?
I mean.
Damn it, I screwed the pooch on that one. That was, betrayed him. Oh my goodness. I am going to get it. All right, anyways. Offensively, who do we got? I the cop-out answer for me is going to be Patrick Laird.
That's a good one.
But I mean, it's just he had a great year, right? Absolutely, like stellar. And he's still in the NFL. He's one of our lone running backs over the last few years that's still in the NFL. So I mean, he was absolutely stellar.
Ian Bunting? Like, who is there? There's really no one.
Mo Waits.
The Cheez-It Bowl? So you're like, okay, who are the offensive stars of the Cheez-It Bowl? Nobody. Great. Chase Forrest? No, it has to be Garbers, man. Garbers got us the big game win. That big game win will always be worth it.
So here's my question, right? Garbers' final run, right, at the big game, or Vic Warren's trash-talking that won us the SC game? Which,
are you serious?
Yeah.
You know the answer to that.
For you, I think it's the big game, but I would have to hesitate and think about this because that was how long of a streak that was, right? That they broke.
But you also know, like, I don't love Vic Warden, and so I just think. But yes, I mean the SC streak win. I think if you talk about the win, I don't know, maybe Nam and Avi feel like that was that one was maybe more meaningful, but I think like...
I think Nam's the only person that thinks that the SC win is more valuable than a big game win.
The big game win, with the way it happened, like friends, family, on the field, Christmas card was us on the field, like just the run to the end zone, the point to the stands, just bananas. And to me, it's that.
Right.
So Garbers is my choice.
Okay. All right. All right. There you have your there we have all your picks.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Took a while. Little bit.
We got the last question from Sid. Do you remember Sid? She's the Oregon student who's a Cal fan. Like she was like from the Bay Area. Yeah, she asked us a final question of the day. Are you happy with the players who have decided to stay and play out their senior year? Do you have any predictions for them going into the 2021 season? That's actually a really good question to end on.
Yeah, I think it's great because it fills in where I left off with my, of course, with my predictions.
Yes. Let's answer the first part. Should we answer the first part? Let's answer the first part. Are you happy with the players who have decided to stay and play out their senior year?
Yeah.
A resounding yes. Yeah. Especially the guys who are staying, like, because we know.
One we lost is Zionde.
Yeah. So and Zionde would have been, like, what, 25 or 26?
Yeah, been in college way too long.
Yeah, Zionde can move on. Not because I don't want him here. It's just, like, he can try out new things. We don't have to linger on him staying here. All right. But, yeah, all right. Do you have any predictions for them going into the 2021 season?
I think Cam Good has real potential to be the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year if he keeps progressing that way. We hear our favorite guest, Trey, talking about how good and how talented he is, and just the fact that Trey says that he just catches those really unlucky injuries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a fully healthy Cam Good who was showing so well on tape this last season. Yeah, like he would be absolutely someone to look out for. I think Josh Drayden is an incredible cornerback, and it's just we've had him for so long, and that experience is second to none. So I think that's huge. And then you look at Coyne Dang adding all of that muscle. We didn't really see it at the beginning. He was kind of, coming into his own. And then by game four, he looked really, really good. The Oregon game obviously being his best game of the season. So with those guys coming back, and then I think I'll let you talk about Elijah Hicks because I don't want to spoil like what I would say is just a retread of what you're probably going to say because you really like Hicks. And am I missing anyone?
Dancy.
And then, yeah, so Dancy, I think, like, comes into a position where I feel pretty good about. But Dancy, like, people forget, like, in the games that we struggled to run the ball, Dancy was actually the one that had the best, like, yards per carry, kind of showed out the best. I think having that leadership and then also not to be forgotten is his off-the-field work, too. And so to set that example of what student athletes should be at Cal is really important. So I think he's a huge member of this. So all those guys that came back are super, super valuable, and I think they're all going to make a big impact. But the two that I would say by far, like I think all-conference type for me would be, definitely Cam Good. And I think Josh Drayden has the potential to do that, depending on how he's used.
Yeah, the one other guy that Andy forgot here is starting center Michael Saffell. He has said he's returning, and I think that's huge. Having continuity at center, I think that's absolutely huge. So, yeah, that actually might be the most important one from an offensive standpoint in returning. Even I think maybe even out of that entire group, the most important one returning is probably Mike Saffell. Center is such an important position that you don't realize. So, yeah, as Andy was saying, like, yeah, I think Hicks is huge because I honestly think he was people think that Cam Bynum was our best cornerback. I think Elijah Hicks was our best cornerback. I think he
lived in that shadow a little bit of people talking about Cam Good, and he quietly did his work. And this year they were like, oh, Hicks wasn't as great, but he was also moving to a brand new position at safety. And, you know, he loves contact. He's a good tackler. He hits hard, you know, and playing that safety position might actually benefit him for the future position at the NFL, and being able to roam and see where he fits in, whether as a free safety or a strong safety. And you've seen, you know, the smaller sized safeties be a little bit more effective in the NFL these days. Like, you know, you see Jamal Adams, you see Derwin James with my Chargers. Like, it's those guys, I think it fits that same mold that Elijah Hicks does. So I was surprised that he's coming back, but man, he might actually light up the conference from that safety spot next year. I think he's going to be really good because he got however many snaps he needed at that and live snaps at that position instead of just practice in a bowl game. So you'll see him. I'm pretty sure they'll have some interesting packages with him. And then especially with him and then some of the other younger safety guys like, you know, Trey Passer and Daniel Scott and you know, Tyson McWilliams. Oh, it's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, I think that's it. Is that it? Let me check the questions. That is it. That's our predictions for everything. That is our questions for everything. That is it. You know, did you see this? We got followed by Marshawn Lynch's mom. We got followed by Mama Lynch, which is super surprising. Really, really cool. But I know since he's your best player, and she's like a big social media personality too. 22.9K followers. Huge, big time. But that is it from the Golden Bearcast. You can find me on Twitter at Rob11HWNG. You can find Andy at
Andy J Beast Mode.
You can find us on Twitter at Golden Bearcast. And also, if you found us where you're listening to us, then I don't need to tell you where you can find us on podcast platforms. We are also testing out a new platform to converse with our community and talk to you guys, which is an app called Flick. You can find it on our Twitter page. You can find it on my Twitter page. Just find the link, join up. It's a mobile app where you can chat, set polls and quizzes and other fun stuff. So we shall see. Yeah, we shall see. But that's it. That wraps it up for us. And as always, go Bears.
Go Bears.